What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Standum, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I am your host, Mike Cicchini, the editor-in-chief of DennyGeek.com. And each week, I'm the guy bringing you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCEU. And I am pleased to announce that we're going with the biggest of the big screen this week, as I'm joined by none other than Dwayne Johnson and the cast of Black Adam for some conversations about the stuff that went into making the only mainline DCEU movie of 2022. Remember, folks, the Batman is another corner of the multiverse. So just, I don't know, for the purposes of this conversation, we'll just say that the DCEU is the stuff that encompasses the movies that take place in the same continuity, you know, so like Man of Steel to Justice League to the Suicide Squad to Birds of Prey to Shazam, and of course to Black Adam. And trust me, Black Adam is unquestionably, above all other things, a DC Universe movie. Why am I emphasizing that word? Well, because this movie is, and I mean packed, with DC lore. Never mind the fact that it's totally crazy that we're even getting the JSA on screen in the first place. And they are absolutely the highlight of the movie, by the way. There's lots of deep cut references to, you know, Shazam lore. There's other corners of the DCEU. You know, we've seen in the trailers, for example, that Amanda Waller from the Suicide Squad makes an appearance. And there's more. In fact, I should probably warn you before we go any further that there are some spoilers in these interviews. I'm going to start talking spoilers to even intro some of these folks. So if you haven't seen Black Adam yet and you don't want to be spoiled, well, I'm going to give you a minute right now to pause this podcast, check on out, and come back later when you're ready for the spoilers. All right?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. You ready? Because it's spoiler time. Folks, there is so much DC stuff in this movie. I mean, at this point, Dwayne has practically been saying in his interviews that Henry Cavill is back as Superman. And yes, he absolutely is. But there's other cool stuff in here too, like a surprise Peacemaker character showing up, or the fact that Henry Winkler has a cameo as original JSA Adam Al Pratt. Honestly, that made me ridiculously excited. I was pretty much expecting the Superman thing, but having Henry Winkler show up as a founding member of the JSA made my day. What can I say? I'm a nerd. So let's kick this episode off with our interview with Noah Centineo and Quintessa Swindell. They are the JSA's junior members, Atom Smasher and Cyclone. They're really delightful on screen. And I asked them about what it was like playing such, you know, pretty obscure characters. Asked them some stuff about like what kind of research they did. It's fun, and they're just so charming together. I really enjoyed them. So hopefully you enjoyed the interview too. Here it is. Thank you both. So
thank you.
You both got these legacy characters to play. So you have these complicated histories. How much did they tell you about these characters and what, you know, what their histories were before you actually put your costumes on?
Oh, they provide us with reading materials on Black Adam.
Yeah.
But I think we had to research a lot of the rest of it, right?
Yeah, it was. I think there was like a rep from DC who came when we were shooting.
Adam.
Yeah, right.
Adam Schlag.
And when we were like, I guess like starting everything up, who just gave us like, felt like hundreds and hundreds of like pieces of source material. And for me, I'm just like flipping through like the comic, trying to find little old Cyclone like in the corner of a tile in the top left. You know, I'm like, that helps. That helps. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't help. That doesn't help. That doesn't
next.
Help. Do we ever speak? How can we pull any sort of characterization?
Yo, exactly.
Yeah.
But we do get to see a little bit of, like, you know, Cyclone's legacy is kind of addressed as a bit of exposition, mm-hmm. but we get to see a little bit of that with Atom Smasher. Mm-hmm. Noah, when did you know who was going to be playing your uncle in that scene when shot it?
I didn't know who was going to be playing when we shot it. And when we found out, I freaked out, dude. I was like, oh, this is funny. We're going to be able, if we do more, I just want more scenes with him.
I remember watching it for the first time, and then he showed up, and I was like, what? I turned around. I was like, Noah!
But yeah, that was a big part of it, was like Uncle Al and then like my grandfather and you know, the family passed down, all of the, you know, what that does to the psyche. There's nepotism involved. So like all that definitely came into play, I would say, regardless if they sent the materials.
So we get a little bit of Atom Smasher's costume backstory, but I feel like there's something cool going on with Cyclone's costume that we don't get to find out about on screen.
Well, I feel like the whole thing, I don't think it is really expressed, but it was something that, like, maybe was implied with, like, a few scenes in the beginning that maybe are, like, changed. I don't know. But the whole thing with Cyclone's costume is that, like, she's finding out that she's going to meet Hawkman, so she's just, like, running through, like, a theater, like, costume shop, or, like, you know, just going to a Halloween store and being like, ooh, this is great, ooh, this is great, and, like, putting all of these elements, you know, for together for what she thinks like a superhero should look like. And so that's like the best, I think, aspect that also speaks so much to like Cyclone's character, is she's so fresh and like so new to it that she has no preconceived notion of what it should like should be kind of, or like what it shouldn't be, but rather like what feels the best like for her in a way. So if that makes sense, yeah.
I love it. That's so cool. Thank you both so much. Next up, I spoke with none other than Pierce Brosnan, who is so brilliant as Dr. Fate in this movie, and Aldous Hodge, who plays JSA leader Hawkman. I spoke to them about the character's deep friendship and relationship in this movie, as well as the fact that they have two of the coolest costumes ever seen in superhero movies. It's pretty cool. And their answers to these are pretty fun as well. Hopefully you like them. We're going to start at the end because those final scenes with you two are just so powerful. I really love the friendship between Hawkman and Dr. Fate. So what was it like shooting those?
Oh, man. I mean,
it had an emotional impact for me because these men are brothers. They are men who have traveled through the eons of life together. Mm-hmm. They know each other's souls so well. They're endowed with these incredible powers. But more importantly, they have such a human heart for each other.
Yeah.
So that, for me, as Dr. Fate, carried me through every day's work. Yeah. That I was with Aldous and Quintessa and Noah. And so it's not about being a superhero. It's being that man, Dr. Fate, mm-hmm. who can foresee the future and knows what's about to happen with his dear friends. And the consequences of it. So,
yeah. I mean, for me, the thing that I really love the most about their relationship and where it takes to what we earn, you know, at the end, is that you have, like you said, two real brothers. You know, I have my life, you know, in my life at this stage, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. You know, I'm almost my early 40s. I'm in a place where I realize I'm talking to a lot of men who needs somebody to lean on, who needs somebody to be open and connect with emotionally and vulnerably, to be able to say, hey, brother, I need some help. I'm trying to get to this place in my life. I need some help. And in this movie, we see the representation of these two titular, you know, warriors who are there for each other. You know, Hawkman is trying, he's a leader, but being a leader, he also needs guidance himself. Dr. Fate is that guidance. Dr. Fate is the one who he entrusts to lead him, you know what I mean? And the representation of that brotherhood, that value there is immense. And I love that they even prioritize that in this film, because it has so much real world value on the back end for a lot of men who need to know it's all right to go confide in your boy and be like, look, I'm going through life. I need, you know, some help. So I love we get to sort of, you know, exhibit that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the two coolest costumes in the film.
Yeah.
But I have to know, did you actually put the wings on? And Pierce, did you ever actually put the helmet on?
I did put the helmet on. There were two helmets. There was the large helmet that I could actually put over my head.
Yeah.
Like this, and then there was the dress helmet, so to speak, which was a beautiful artifact that which I had a hand in designing. Jama brought me in, so very inclusive. Jama Colette Serra, our director.
I hope you stole that helmet from Serra.
I didn't steal it. They said they would send it. I'm still waiting.
I'm still waiting for mine.
Yeah.
I'm about to, as soon as we get done with this today, I'm hitting that call. Where's my helmet?
Yep.
So I didn't have on the full wings. We had like test or placement wings just so we could see the full size. But sometimes, I mean, I had the full on costume, but sometimes on my back I would wear weights to show the distribution of the actual wing weight, or, you know, we'd have to tell people when I'm walking by, like, there are these huge wings, you gotta, you know, you know, you might get pushed out the way, so just realize it's there. But for the majority of the time, I didn't have to have the wings on, which I'm happy about, because I'm sure they would have been quite heavy.
All right, well, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
And finally, the man in black himself, Dwayne Johnson. I only had time for one question with Dwayne, so let's be real. I was only ever going to ask him about that big Superman cameo at the end and what this means for the next steps for Black Adam and the DCEU in general. Johnson's response should certainly be an encouraging one for fans.
You're the one and only Mike from Den of Geek.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you, brother.
Dwayne, people are going to lose their minds when they see the final shot of this film. And I know it's something that you've wanted to make happen for a long time. But the big question then is, what do you see as next for Black Adam? You know, is it alongside Superman? Is it alongside Shazam? Or is it somewhere else in the DC universe?
Well, that's a great question. And the whole design of this thing was to not only help build out the DC universe, and that's what I'm talking about now that you've seen the movie. This is this narrative of, it's a new era in the DC universe. Now you understand what I mean by that. And also a new era of listening to the fans. And I may not be able to do everything that the fans want, but they're always gonna know moving forward from us on this side of Black Adam and this side of the DC universe that we're always gonna listen to them. And you see that, the end result there of our movie. So where do we go next? Great question. Without giving too much away, we already have plans. We are putting ideas right now on their feet, but they do include I'll say it like this. In our world over here on this side, and this is, and I don't mean this, we're siloed and that group over there is doing that, that group over there is doing that. In our world, all these characters coexist. They all should cross paths. And that sounds ambitious, and it may sound like a little bit of a dream, but Black Adam should cross paths with every Justice League member, Joker, you name it, Suicide Squad. I mean, we all should do this. So in my head, I like to see that now. That's a far out there idea that we always toy with, but now we're in such a great position where we can open this Bible of the DC universe, man, and there are so many great characters to introduce. I wanted to establish, and we wanted to establish, the power of Black Adam in this movie. And then we wanted to then establish that there was no greater force on the planet than Black Adam, and then have him interact with who is the greatest force in the entire universe. And what that, now imagine where your imagination can go there. But now I feel it's our job to continue to illuminate these characters that we just highlighted in the JSA, but also introduce other characters. And again, that's a great thing. When you open up that pantheon of DC characters, they have been there forever. And now we get a chance to go inside that Bible and that book and pull some of those out.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Good to see you.
You know, listening to Dwayne talk about these characters, he sure sounds like someone who sees himself as a person with a very particular vision for what DC movies should be like, doesn't he? I mean, I'm not saying he's angling to become DC's version of Kevin Feige, but I also can't remember the last time someone on either end of the camera at Warner Brothers talked about the DCEU as a whole in such a focused and reverent way. It'll be real interesting to see what comes next. And I will say this as well. If you're into DC movies, you really should go see Black Adam in theaters. This is such an unapologetically DC superhero movie. There's no pretensions about it. It's here to introduce as many new and relatively obscure characters as possible while connecting itself to other areas of the DCEU. And it has a good time doing it. And I'm a little worried because if this doesn't do well at the box office, I don't know. We might just get nothing but Batman and Joker movies for the rest of our lives. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. The Batman was great. Joker was great. Keep making interesting, risky movies like that. But I also want to see more of the DCEU and the DC universe in general built out. And Black Adam is a big step towards that. Anyway, that is it for this episode of DC Stand-Up. But you are going to want to keep it right here for more exclusive interviews. Let me give you an idea of what we've got coming up. Upcoming episodes include Todd McFarlane and Greg Capullo talking about Batman Spawn. We got Mark Silvestri on his upcoming Batman and the Joker, the Deadly Duo book. I have the new creative team of the Superman comics. That's Philip Kennedy Johnson, Joshua Williamson, and Dan Juergens all talking about what they've got in store for the Man of Steel in 2023. I've got other surprises up my sleeve too, so you're not going to want to miss them. Make sure you're subscribing to us wherever you are listening right now. Don't forget to check out our web home at denigeek.com where you can find all our DC coverage. Drop me a line on Twitter where I waste well, less time than I used to, but I'm at Way Out Stuff. Let me know what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes. But what the cool kids are doing is you want to follow at DC Stand-Up on Twitter and Instagram. Tell us what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes. You want an obscure piece of DC lore unpacked? You want me to chase down a really cool interview? You want more interviews, less interviews, more panel shows? Tell me what you want. I'll see what we can do for you. Give them a follow. We'll see what other surprises we can get for you. And hey, we also have a Marvel show. Make sure you're listening to Marvel Stand-Up wherever you are listening to this show right now. And make sure you're subscribing to DenaGeek on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/DenaGeekTV because we often do Marvel Stand-Up live. And we have been known to occasionally do a DC Stand-Up episode live. So you want to have some fun, get in on the conversation. That's the best way to do it. Anyway, this has been DC Stand-Up on the DenaGeek Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Cecchini, and remember, folks, we stand together.